Bhagavad Lila, chapter 28, 10th canto. Krishna rescues Nanda Maharaj. This chapter describes Varuna's kidnapping of Nanda Maharaj and his prayers to Krishna. Hearing about this incident from Nanda Maharaj afterwards, the coward men became very surprised. Krishna then showed the coward men Goloka Vrindavan in the spiritual world. Shukadeva Goswami tells this pastime of Krishna forgiving Varuna for his offense because he remembered it while narrating the story of Krishna forgiving Indra. The servant of Varuna, who arrested Nanda Maharaj, is described as a demon in verse number 2 for several reasons. First, the servant was foolishly ignorant of Nanda Maharaj's position as the pastime father of Sri Krishna, the Supreme Absolute Truth. Nanda Maharaj's intention was to carry out the injunctions of scripture regarding Ekadasi Paran, breaking his Ekadasi fast. Therefore, Varuna's servant should not have arrested Nanda on the technical grounds that he bathed in the Yamuna at an inauspicious time. Later in the chapter, Varuna himself says, Agyanata Mamakena Mudena. This act, my Maharaj, was done by my ignorant servant, who is a Mudha, fool. Several coward men accompanied Nanda Maharaj as guards when he went to take his bath at night. When Nanda did not come out of the Yamuna, they began to cry out. Though Krishna was far away sleeping on his bed of flowers, he heard the coward men shouting, Krishna, Ram. The verse says, Upa Shutya, which indicates that Krishna heard from close by. Because Krishna is all-pervading, he is always very near to everyone. Understanding the situation, Krishna rushed there, jumped into the Yamuna, and went to the underwater court of Varuna. Krishna was determined to free his father and the other coward men from the fear of a mere demigod named Varuna. By relieving the fear of his associates, he did this by freeing Nanda from Varuna's clutches. Upon attaining Krishna's darshan, Varuna said, All the thousands of bodies which I have received till now have been useless, because in all those lives I did not see you, my Lord. Today my body has become successful. Today, I have understood what is most valuable. Though I possess all varieties of jewels, until now, I have not obtained such a jewel as you. Those who worship your lotus feet, my dear Lord Krishna, can cross the ocean of material existence. How fortunate I am to attain your darshan without any effort. You are approached by the three paths of bhakti, gyan, and yoga. I pay my respects to you as Bhagavan, Brahman, and Paramatma. Those who claim that these realizations are tinged with maya are wrong. These realizations are not touched by maya, which makes the various things of this world. Krishna replied, Varunadev, why are you embarrassing me by praising me like this? Varuna, I have really offended you. According to the Bhakti Shastras, one can enter the water before sunrise, especially after a short Ekadashi. Not knowing this, one of my foolish servants committed a great offense by bringing your father here. The offense of my servant is also mine. Pointing with his hand, Varuna showed Nanda seated on a jeweled throne, which Varuna himself had offered in order to worship Nanda Maharaj, who was internally engaged in remembering Krishna, his own worshipable deity. Varuna continued, O Krishna, you are the ocean of forgiveness. Because I am the ocean of offense, you can punish me suitably if you wish. O Krishna, O seer of everything, please give your mercy to me. O Govinda, you are most affectionate to your father. Please take him home. Krishna returned home with Nanda Maharaj before sunrise. Nanda Maharaj was astonished to see for the first time the fabulous opulence of Varuna, the ruler of the ocean planet. Varuna and all his followers were offering obeisances to Krishna. After breaking the fast at the proper time, Nanda Maharaj sat comfortably and spoke to his friends and relatives, realizing that they were in fact dealing with the Supreme Lord. The coward men of Braj became eager to know if Sri Krishna would take them to his own transcendental abode, Swagatim Vaikuntha. The elderly gopas said, O Nanda, previously you told us that Krishna was like Narayan, but not identical to Narayan. But now you have concluded that Krishna is God by directly hearing Varuna's praising him. We think your son should fulfill the desires of your friends in this material world. Because besides being the Supreme Lord, Krishna is also the son of our brother, the son of our sister, and the son of our daughter. We love Krishna and he loves us. Krishna said, O coward men, please take whatever you desire from the Supreme Lord. One coward man said, we should take liberation. Another said, let us become residents of Vaikuntha. Every coward man had a different desire. Although the coward men were seeing Krishna as God, it did not even slightly diminish the intimacy of their relationship with Krishna. However, that was not the case with Krishna's father, Vasudeva, and his friend Arjuna, whose affectionate relationship was disrupted by observing Krishna's mercy. Once upon meeting Krishna and Balaram, Vasudeva said, you two are not my sons, but the Supreme Lord. Today I surrender to your lotus feet. After seeing Krishna's universal form, Arjuna said, O my Lord, please forgive me for whatever I spoke, thinking of you as a friend. Understanding the minds of his relatives, the Brijvasis, Krishna thought how to fulfill their desires, since he knew about all the types of bliss available in Brahman, Vaikuntha, and Brajabhumi. According to the degree of his devotee's prem, Krishna usually covers or forgets his majesty. But in the case of Lila Shakti, inspired him. In this case, Krishna's Lila Shakti inspired him with full awareness of all his majestic forms simultaneously. Krishna thought, because of tasting the rich sweetness of Krishna prema, these coward men of Braj have understood that the attainment of Brahman and Vaikuntha are insignificant. Nevertheless, I will permit them to realize bliss of Brahman and Vaikuntha in order to fulfill the desires they are manifesting while playing the role of unintelligent human beings. Although it appears to refer to conditioned souls, verse 13 actually applies to the eternally liberated residents of Sri Vrindavan. Krishna thought, all the desires and actions of my father and the Brijvasis are solely dedicated for my pleasure. Seeing me as their helpless child, They are completely unaware that I am the Supreme God of all universes. At this time, Krishna was thinking, all the desires and actions of my father and the Brijbasis are solely dedicated for my pleasure, seeing me as their helpless child. They are completely unaware that I am the Supreme God of all the universes. Wandering in this land of Vrindavan, they have no knowledge of the higher destinations. In this way, the Brijbasis are completely unaware of their own exalted positions as my eternal associates in Sri Vrindavan Dham, which is rarely achieved by others. When my father saw the opulence of Varunadev in his underwater kingdom, which is merely material, Nanda Baba considered this Vrindavan, which is the quintessence of Vaikuntha, to be inferior to the planet of Varunadev. It is just like a fool who, upon seeing the form and luster of an inferior pearl, considers a valuable first-class pearl to be inferior. Thus, the coward men see themselves inferior to Varuna and think attaining liberation and resonance in Vaikuntha is greater than the unique sweetness they relish in loving me as their son. Liberation and Vaikuntha both depend on me, but I am completely independent. Nevertheless, it is seen that sometimes I am dependent on prema, though it is evident to all, the Brijbasis do not recognize it. Some people become liberated and realize the happiness of Brahman. Yasya prabha prabhavato jagadanda koti. Brahman is merely the effulgence coming out of my body. Brahman is unlimited and beyond maya. I myself say in Bhagavad Gita, Brahmano hi pratishtaham. I am the basis of the impersonal Brahman. Matsya says, my greatness is called Parabrahman. Thus Brahman, which is the all-pervading, formless light of my effulgence, is beyond material perception. However, I am also eternally present in various sweet personal forms, which can be relished by one whose senses are anointed with prema. As for Vaikuntha, Padma Puran says, Mathura Mandala is far superior to Vaikuntha. Within Mathura is Vrindavan, the eternal transcendental pleasure abode of Sri Krishna, which remains unaffected even by the annihilation of the material world. The Gopal Tapani Upanishad says, of the seven cities on Bhur Loka, Gopalapuri, the resonance of Gopalji, is the very form of Brahman. Gopalpuri exists on this earth like a lotus floating on a lake. Brihad Vaman Puran says, when the universe becomes invisible at the time of devastation, only the infinite, eternal, non-material Vaikuntha remains, spreading its rays of blissful Brahman. Thus, though Vrindavan is far superior to both Brahman and Vaikuntha, the simple coward men desire to attain the experience of Brahman and Vaikuntha only because they have not seen them with their eyes. Therefore, I will now reveal these to them directly. The Brijbasis are Nitya Siddhas, eternally liberated associates of Lord Krishna, who love Krishna in various relationships of intimacy. They are completely unaffected by ignorance, lust, or fruit of activity. The Srimad Bhagavatam says, the gopis who regarded Krishna as their son were not subject to the ignorance of material life. Lord Brahma says, what can you give to these Brijvasis who will not accept the position of liberation or Vaikuntha, even if you offer it? Considering the situation, Krishna, out of his infinite compassion for the Brijvasis, separated the coward men from Vrindavan for a few moments and showed them his own attractively charming spiritual planet, Krishna Loka. Krishna did this to show them that the sweetness of Vrindavan was superior to Brahman and Vaikuntha. However, if the Brijvasis achieved Sayujya Mukti, merging in Brahman, it would be impossible for them to come out of it. Then how would they ever again taste the sweetness of Vrindavan? Because Krishna is Vibhu, all-powerful, he could take them out of Sayujya Mukti, Brahman, and Vaikuntha, which are both beyond the darkness of matter. The jnanis who transcend the modes of nature see the Brahman effulgence, Brahmajyoti, in Samadhi. Brahman and Bhoma Vrindavan both have the nature of unlimited effulgent bliss. But the people on earth only experience the extreme sweetness of Vrindavan and not its awesome and majestic aspect due to the covering of Yogamaya. Just as a clay pot conceals a lamp shining within it, Krishna revealed the Brahmajyoti far beyond the material world and not the spiritual effulgence manifested within Vrindavan on this earth planet. The form of Bhagavan Sri Krishna is much sweeter than the impersonal Brahman effulgence. This is confirmed by the realization of Atmaramas, such as Shukadeva Goswami. Though the form of Bhagavan is also all-pervading, he appeared localized in a form of medium-sized human-like. Though Bhagavan Sri Krishna is free from the six transformations of material nature, he seems to undergo birth, growth, and so on. Bhagavan is free from the six material disturbances of hunger, thirst, and so on, yet he seems to undergo hunger and thirst, perspire and become tired, express fear, bewilderment, and receive blows in battle. This is because Bhagavan Sri Krishna has unlimited, inconceivable energies. Similarly, Vrindavan is like the body of Krishna, which spreads itself through millions of universes, yet it's also limited and localized. The Lord says, this Vrindavan is spread over 5 yojanas, is like my body. And though the scriptures proclaim that the moving and non-moving entities of Vrindavan are free from the 6 material disturbances, hunger, thirst, lamentation, illusion, old age, and death, one sees to his astonishment that the men, animals, birds, and trees in Vrindavan experience hunger, thirst, birth, old age, want, and dissolution. The unlimited spiritual effulgence called the Brahmajyoti is compared to a lake called Brahmarad, which actually exists in the river Yamuna. This Brahmarad is Lord Brahma's kund, Brahmakund, which is near Rangaji, and in Govardhan behind Haridev Mandir. Brahma means Brahman Kund, spiritual lake. Krishna submerged the coward men in that lake literally, and also in the sense that he submerged them in the awareness of the impersonal Brahman. Then he uddrita, he uplifted He lifted them up to a higher understanding, that of the personality of Godhead in his own planet, Krishna Loka. This is stated in the Bhagavatam. Krishna showed them Gokul, the highest planet in the spiritual sky, and showed the Aishwarya portion of Goloka. As a materialist is taken from the lake of matter to the realization of Brahman, so the coward men were taken from the lake of Brahman realization to the direct perception of Goloka Vrindavan, Sri Krishna's blissful prema dham. The bliss of Krishna prema Gokul far exceeds the paltry, loveless happiness in Brahman. So this is the majestic part of Gokul. The pastime involving Akrura takes place later in the Bhagavatam. The reason Shukadeva Goswami says Akrura saw Vaikuntha Pura previously is all these incidences took place many years before the conversation between Shukadeva and Parikshit. Seeing Krishna Loka in the spiritual world, the coward men were amazed and filled with the highest bliss. They experienced Krishna Loka to be the same as their Vrindavan on earth. It is just like a millionaire who, having lost all his wealth, becomes full of bliss on finding some clue to the wealth. Brijvasis found that Sri Krishna, with his lotus face covered with drops of perspiration and worshipable by millions of their life heirs, was personally present as the Lord of the spiritual world. In their unique vision, they were astonished to see Krishna being praised by the personified Vedas. The coward men thought, "Where have these effulgent beings come from? They are unknown to us, but we cannot ask them who they are. Though seeing us, Krishna does not display his boyish manners, run towards us, and embrace us with his two arms. We also feel reluctant to approach Krishna and take him on our laps. Today, Krishna has forgotten hunger and thirst. But how can his mother live without feeding him?" In this way, the coward men were astonished. Employing her Leela Shakti, Yogamaya brought the Brijvasis back to earthly Vrindavan. Rupa Goswami has explained this fact in a verse in Stavamala. "May you be protected by Mukunda," in order to teach the coward men that there was no place as sweet as earthly Vrindavan, effortlessly show them Krishna Loka in the spiritual world, and then brought them back to this place of Akuragat. Nanda Maharaj saw Krishna Vaikuntha, the Aishwarya portion of Brajagokul, Vrindavan, where Radha and Krishna are worshipped with Aishwarya mixed with Madhurya. Vrindavan and Gokul, there is only Shuddha Madhurya Bhav. Vaishnavas, this Krishna Vaikuntha is not Vaikuntha, but actually a part of Braj, called Goloka. Krishna's form is not found in Vaikuntha. Lord Balaram glorified this Goloka portion of Vrindavan of Rama Samhita. Goloka evani vasatyaki latma bhuto. He called Krishna Loka to prove it was not Vaikuntha, where Lakshmi is living with Lord Vaikuntha, Lord Vishnu. It's called Goloka because Krishna being worshipped there. Krishna has not performed any pastimes in Vishnu Vaikuntha. Ramaloka refers only to Goloka, Krishna's own planet. Loka is a Vaibhav, Aishwarya, Madhurya, facsimile to Gokul. Now, Padma Puran says that Mathura is greater than Vaikuntha because if you live one day, you get pure devotion.